you're sitting around tables, which may please some of you, and some of you may absolutely hate it. And you also have pens and paper there. You're welcome to just doodle on it if you want, to be honest, while I'm talking. But I'm going to do later on, I was hoping we'd do maybe a little bit of group work around the tables just for a few minutes, which is why the pens and paper are there. But feel free to write on them while I'm talking anyway. We're continuing our series on choices, which we started in early January. And about the choices that we make and how we make them. And this morning, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about how we make choices and to hopefully, maybe, give a kind of practical framework that we can use for making choices. Now, I'm not really going to be talking about the thousands of little decisions that we make every day. I'm more so talking about how we make the bigger decisions, the kind of more our values, our morals. How do we make a decision about what we value? In other words, I think this framework can help us to answer a question like, how should I spend my money? But it won't tell you where to spend your money or what to buy with it necessarily. Okay, so we're looking at the bigger picture. And in the end of the day, I think when you have the bigger picture and the bigger value set, the other choices come from that bigger value. So we're talking about the bigger value, our values and our morals. I think it's important that we actually reflect and think about our values and our morals, kind of for two reasons just off the top of my head. One, if we're not reflecting and challenging and potentially changing our values and morals, we're maybe saying that we're the perfect specimen right here now, and we don't need to change. And I certainly know that's not true for me. So our values and our morals may need to change. Also, secondly, values and morals change anyway. Okay, so you think even about Ireland 20 years ago, people would say that the morality of the Irish people has changed in the last 20 years. So it changes, our culture changes. Now, we can either just go with that, or as I suppose Paul writes, you know, we should be off the world but not in the world. We can set our groundings on Christ. So we need to be thinking and challenging and reflecting about what our morals and values are, and are they rooted in Christ or not. So I think it's important that we challenge and think about these things. I wanted to also focus more on the kind of bigger values and morals because while I believe that God has a specific plan for our lives, that's specific, not pacific. So while I believe God has a specific plan for our lives, I don't think it's one that he expects us to figure out before we make a decision. Okay? For some of us, we'll hear exactly what God wants us to do. We may hear that he wants us to take a certain job or to live in a certain place or drive a certain car. But for most of us, this won't happen. Okay? For most of us, we're just going to have to make a decision. Even if you read the Bible, for everyone who was told to build a boat in the desert, a very specific plan, there are hundreds of people who were God-fearing, Jesus-following, Spirit-filled people who didn't get a really, really specific plan and didn't get those details. Ultimately, I think if God wants to tell you something, you'll hear it, okay? So we don't need to worry about that. If God wants you to know something, you'll hear it. You won't walk past the burning bush. You won't ignore the talking donkey or whatever other ways that God wants to talk to you. If he wants to say something to you, you will hear it. But I don't want us to become paralyzed with fear of making the wrong move or with fear of missing out. I don't want us to become paralyzed waiting for a sign that may or may not come. Ultimately, as Christians, we believe God is with us. Whether we hear a really clear instruction or not, God is with us. So we need to make decisions. We need to live. Also, I want to be very clear from the very beginning. I'm not going to give you any answers today. I am not going to tell you what your morals or values should be. That's up to you. We all have to use our own heads to think, to reflect, to come to an answer, and then crucially to live it out. As a church community, I personally don't believe that any one of us has a role to tell people what decisions they have to make. However, and a big however, I do believe that we have a duty to challenge and encourage and discuss and share thoughts and ideas as we attempt to follow Jesus. I do believe that we can help each other to know Jesus more fully, to trust God more completely, and to experience the Spirit working more regularly. But at the end of the day, each person in this room has to make their own decisions. You can't live by what someone else tells you to do. Okay, so I'm going to read from a passage in Matthew. I can't remember what chapter it is, and I don't have it down here, but it's a familiar passage, so you'll know it, or you'll maybe know it. So this is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I think it's funny just immediately that that I suppose people in Jesus' time were asking some of the same questions that we're asking today. So this guy is coming to Jesus and saying, which rules do I have to follow? Can you give me a list of just the ones that I need to tick off? Can you rank them for me? Just tell me the decisions I need to make, is what he's coming to Jesus saying. And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this morning I want to use these words of Jesus to set up our framework for making decisions as such. Okay. First, do I have a pen up here? I don't have a marker now. Is that a big enough marker? Do you have a really big one? Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about that you can write on your sheet if you want. Is love God. The first thing that we should think about when we're making decisions. What Jesus says at the start here actually comes from Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and your heart and your entire being and with all your might. And Jesus repeats this commandment to them and even points out that it's the most important one. So the first question we should be asking ourselves in any decision is, are we loving God? How am I spending my money? Am I loving God? How am I dividing my time between work and family? Am I loving God with this decision? How am I treating people in relationships? Am I loving God through that? Suppose the question then is, how do we express our love to God? We express it through singing. Like we've done today, we express it through praying, and these are all good things. But really, to show God that we love him, we should be obedient to his word, obedient to what he says, and follow what he says. There are lots of ways that we can hear from God, but primarily we rely on the Bible. We rely on God's word that we have. Even if we hear audibly from God, I think we should always cross-check that with the Bible to make sure we're hearing correctly. We need to soak ourselves in the Bible. We need to learn it, to read it. I spoke a few weeks ago on Psalm 1 and this image of the tree and the strong tree that is soaking up the words of God. You need to meditate on the Bible, chew it, discuss it, talk about it. Often the problem, the more you do that, is that you'll find that the Bible sometimes clashes with you. And I suppose that should happen. It should clash with your life in some way. Paul Ritchie, who spoke at the Ignite Weekend Away last year, said to me at one point in the past that we need to remember that when we surrender to God, we surrender our past, our present, our future, our bodies, our actions, our thoughts, our minds. We surrender our minds to God if we're surrendering fully. That means what he says should take precedence. What he says is very important to us, and we should obey it. We may clash with what he says, and you can argue with him. but in lots of ways, who are we to argue with him? Who are we to say that the one who created everything, who can see everything, and who knows everything is wrong and that we are actually right? If you feel that God's wrong, then you can argue with him. Do. I think that's a very scriptural thing to do. But we see even by reading the book of Job that God is the God who created everything. And God is a good God who wants the best for us. The essence of being a Christian and Christian obedience isn't just following a rule. I want to make that clear as well. It's not just about do's and don'ts. It's actually about our commitment and our loyalty to Jesus and living under the rule of the kingdom of God. Our desire to follow and obey God increases as we understand more about this and we understand more of his love and grace. But as we make decisions, as we reflect on our morals and our values, we need to be asking ourselves, are we loving God with these actions? Does it show obedience to the things that he has said? Does it show that I live under the kingdom of God? If God is our Father, I think that means he is helping us to discover what is good and right. He wants to teach us what is pure and worthy to pursue. He wants to guide us in the right direction. Second thing I want to look at then. I wasn't quite sure how to word this, but I'll go with Love Yourself, which I think is a Justin Bieber song at the minute, so that's good. So Jesus talked about the greatest commandment of all, and then he added a second commandment. He said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And I wanted to start with the end of that sentence, the as yourself part. God has given us a heart filled with desires and longings. And I think that when we come to know what God has done for us, we will hopefully be on a journey towards accepting ourselves as well, towards embracing our personalities and even our imperfections, and knowing that although we want to change our imperfections, we can still know that they're part of us and accept that God loves us. Jesus died for us because we have weaknesses and imperfections. We shouldn't reject ourselves when he accepted us. God wants us to accept ourselves and to enjoy how he's made us. He doesn't want us to be hampered and limping with guilt and shame. Jesus said that the yoke he was going to put on us, the weight he was going to put on us was light. Jesus said he was going to bring us to living life and life to the full. It's very hard to live life to the full if you're struggling with guilt and shame, if you're rejecting yourself. We can be free from this. God died for us. Jesus came to earth and died for us. But he also lived on this planet among us. And he understands. He knows what it's like. He's been tempted in every way as we are. And he loved us so much that he died for us. And that is how highly he thinks of you. He loved you so much that he died for you in a slow, torturous manner as well. That is how highly he thinks of you. And he knows everything. He knows the things that everyone else in this room doesn't know about you. He knows it all. And that is how highly he thinks of you. Now, this doesn't mean that we then go, oh, well, he thinks so highly of us. Well, not, I'll just stay as I am and not change anything about my life. Why should I bother? That doesn't mean that. We need to figure out which of our desires and longings come from God and which of our desires and longings come from the sinful and broken world that we live in. We do this by asking the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to convict us. And we do this by reflecting on our lives and knowing God's word and comparing them. We do this by having people we love, family and friends around us, who'll be honest with us and tell us and give us advice and guidance as well. And when we see something that we think isn't from God, we need to change. We must change. Sometimes I think it's a mark of a person of faith, of a godly person, is that they like change. They actually seek out change. They actually ask God to tell them where they need to change. They pray, saying, show me what I need to do. So when we're making decisions, I think we need to be asking, is this decision loving God? Is this decision loving myself? Is this decision positive on myself, or does this decision I make harm me spiritually or emotionally or physically? Hopefully not. But does this decision help me to accept myself, or does this decision come from a place where I'm rejecting myself? Last thing, then, should be fairly obvious, is love others. Most of us, I think, would say that we want to love our neighbours more, but it's not always that easy. Most of us would say that we want to love people around us as much as we can, but, yeah, sometimes it can be pretty tough. Pretty tough to really put other people ahead of ourselves. Pretty tough to really serve them first. And to take our resources and time and energy and put it into making other people's lives better rather than storing things up for ourselves. Jesus told a very famous story as well when he was quizzed about, well, who are your neighbors, actually? He told the story of the Good Samaritan. And I think when Jesus was quizzed on this, the man came to him, the Pharisee came to him and said, "But who are your neighbor?" I think he was possibly hoping that, you know, Jesus would say, "Oh, it's just the guys who live either side of you," or something like that. You know, that he would narrow it down, make it easier. But Jesus actually blew open the doors and made it incredible. He proclaimed that our neighbor was anyone who we come across who is in need. Anyone. And the story of the Good Samaritan, when you read it, it's amazing to see what the Samaritan does for the injured man. How much money he puts on the line. He goes and he pays for an inn, and he pays for him to be healed, and he pays for him to get food. And then he says to the innkeeper, "I'm going to head off now. Whatever other expenses come up, I'll pay it." He doesn't put a limit on it. He doesn't say to the innkeeper, "If he wants something else, contact me and I'll approve it and send you the money." He doesn't say, I'll approve so much money up to a certain amount. He says, "Whatever expenses, whatever happens, I'll come back and I'll pay it." The Samaritan also puts his time on offer. Whatever the Good Samaritan was heading to that day, wherever he was going, whatever duties he had to perform, he didn't do them. Because he took time to sit with the injured man. He took time to travel with him to an inn. Wherever he was going, he didn't make it. Because he sacrificed his time completely for this injured man who was in need. The Good Samaritan also was coming to a man who maybe wouldn't have accepted him. And he set his prejudice aside. He set his misunderstandings aside about maybe what he doesn't know about this man. And he just left it all to one side because the man needed him. It's an incredible example of how we should make choices to love others, to love our neighbors. In 1 Thessalonians, we read this. It says, may the Lord make you increase and grow in love for one another and for all people. So we want to try and guide our decisions by whether we're loving God, whether we're loving ourselves, and whether we're loving others. So I kind of wanted to try and keep this as practical as possible. So this is why we have the tables out. I was hoping that around the tables we may be able to talk about a decision, a fictional decision. And we may be able to go through and see, well, what choices would we make that would love God, that would love ourselves, that would love others? I think it's really important that we think about these decisions ourselves. It's really important that we reflect on these ourselves. But I think it's just as important that we share with other Christians, that we share with other people. Because we may come to a wrong conclusion. And if we just keep it up here and don't share it, we'll never know. But if we share with other people, we might see things that we don't normally see. Other people can see the blind spots that we miss. And other people may be able to point those out. So I wonder, maybe just at your tables, maybe we can come up with a list of possible decisions that people can make, can we? I don't have this on anything. So, but maybe we can come up with a list, and then at your tables, you can kind of pick one and talk about it. So I'm just going to write some up that come on top of my head. So yeah, I talked about money. So how do we spend our money could be a bigger value or moral. Could be time, yeah. It's time or work. It could be relationships. I'll put sex there as well, if anyone wants to get into that. Anything else anyone wants to put on? Or is everyone's happy to just choose one of those, or you can choose your own and talk about it. Okay? Okay, I don't suspect you've come to any answers, but that's all right. as I say, this is a bit of a process sometimes of reflecting and thinking and sharing with each other and discussing it. So I'm not expecting you to answer everything. We're going to sing a couple more songs. Maybe I'll just pray and then we'll sing a few more songs to finish. Yeah, okay. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the chance that we have to come together as a community and to seek out your will for our lives. We thank you for the things that you have given us. We thank you for your word that we can read and that can guide us. We thank you for the example that your son gave us on earth, for how he clearly turned to you at all times and knew your word inside out, for how he was clearly assured and confident of his own standing. And we thank you for how he loved others completely and entirely. And as followers of Jesus, we want to make those same choices. We want to become more and more like him. And we pray that you would help us to do that. Amen.